Welcome back to session four. In this session, I'm going to talk about acknowledging and taking ownership of our wounded self, our judgmental self, and our compassionate self. This is a part of the process that is transformative. There's a lot of change that goes on in this part of the process every time we revisit it. It is also a time that is very tumultuous because of all the change that's going on. It's a time when we move from being aware and developing that awareness of what's going on inside of us and how it's affecting our lives and the lives of others, to really taking ownership that this is my story. This is what happened to me. This is the way the wound of my childhood trauma continues to live in me. So we say, this is me, about our compassionate self. And I think we want to start there. Let me say what it means to say, this is me, about our compassionate self. What I'm talking about when I'm talking about being compassionate towards ourselves is the same as being compassionate with anybody. It means that we suffer with another person when we're compassionate with them. It means that we do not come in as an authority. We do not come in defended or with the answers or with an agenda. Not at all. That we come and sit beside somebody in their pain and in their suffering. And we open our own hearts to that pain without agenda, without a sense of knowing or wanting to fix, wanting to change anything. Our desire is to be with them in great respectfulness and open-heartedness. And this is what I mean when I'm talking about being compassionate with our wounded self. To come and sit with that part of us with a deep sense of respectfulness. Not pity, not shaming, but respect. Sometimes people worry that if they're compassionate towards themselves, that they're, quote, letting themselves off the hook. And that often is that judgmental part of us that believes that we are responsible for things that we're not responsible for, that has blamed us for the bad things, the terrible and frightening and scary things that happened to us as children that we had no power to control. So being compassionate is not about losing control, but that is what it will feel like to that judgmental part of us. Sometimes we worry that being compassionate is an excuse that we use, that we use it as a way of rationalizing the harm we've done to others. And what I would say is that it's quite the opposite of that, that the more deeply we are able to sit with our own pain, with our own suffering, the more deeply we are able to sit with one of the most difficult pains of all to sit with, which is the pain we've inflicted on others. The more deeply we open our hearts to our own suffering, the more deeply we're able to open our hearts to the suffering that we ourselves have inflicted on others. Sometimes people worry that being compassionate with ourselves is selfish, is self-centered. And again, this is likely to be something that we will say to ourselves. But the opposite, again, is true. To be compassionate with ourselves, particularly ourselves as children, but with ourselves at all, is to allow God to carve a deeper place for compassion to live within us. The more deeply we are able to enter into our own suffering, without judgment, without shame, without pushing it away, the more deeply we are able then to enter into other people's suffering without being afraid, without being defensive, without trying to push it away or fix it. Because we've come to know deeply that what heals us is the presence of another and their love and their respect and valuing. So this is what it means to step into that compassionate self. And we can do this in a very mindful way. we can say to ourselves, I am a compassionate person, at least I know something of compassion, and I can lean into more and more taking in the compassion of others, and I can lean into receiving more and more of God's love and practicing kindness and love towards myself. We might even say intentionally to our younger wounded selves, perhaps to our judgmental self, we might say, I know the pain and the fear and the shame you experienced was overwhelming. I know you could not bear that pain alone, and that is why you've done what you've done to push it away. But I want you to know you're not alone anymore with that pain, and you can begin to release control because you're not alone. To the wounded self, our compassionate self might say, I see and hear your suffering. I see and hear your pain, and I'm right here with you. I will not push you away. I will not shame you, and I will not silence you. I will make room for you and listen to you. As we do this, we're more able to say, this is me, about our judgmental self. And as we do that, we begin to say, this is me. I am harsh with myself. I am rejecting of myself. I say and do mean things to myself. I neglect myself. And I've also done all kinds of things to push the pain away. Whether it's get caught up in some kind of an addictive process with mood-altering drugs or mood-altering behavior. Whether it's being focused always outside of myself, trying to please other people, trying to control them or change them or correct them or even rage at them. All these ways I have used, all these distractions I have used to push away my own pain. And in the process, I have inflicted my suffering on others and have caused harm to others and to myself. This is me. And as we say, this is me, to our wounded self, which in some ways may be the hardest, this is me to say. As we say, this is me, to that wounded little kid, we're saying, that child, that wounded child is me. That child that's full of fear, that reacts viscerally when triggered, that was so scared and so alone or so lost or so confused or so sad and still carries that pain, this is me. So as we begin to say, this is me, about these three parts of us, change begins to happen. And one of the things that happens is that that wounded child is seen and heard and valued, perhaps for the very first time. And as a result, the distress that that wounded part of us has been holding for so long begins to come forth. The fear we are going to experience more directly, the feelings of being out of control we're going to experience more directly, the shame, the guilt, the confusion, the sorrow, we're likely to feel more directly. And as a result, this becomes a time when feelings are very raw and there's a lot of tumult in our lives, a lot of chaos. This is when things really begin to feel really messy. Before we start this process, it feels like things are pretty well locked down. That judgmental part of us is sort of in control, except, of course, what we've been doing to stay in control no longer works and is causing more problems than ever. So by the time we get to this part of the process, things are really opening up and no longer locked down in that place. I remember very consciously being grateful that I could now feel, even though what I was feeling was pain, because I had been numb for so long. So the question, of course, is how do we do this? How do we say this is me? How do we acknowledge and take ownership about these three parts of ourselves? For me, the two things that were really helpful was a very specific kind of writing and journaling and a very specific kind of practice of prayer meditation that I'm going to share with you. So in the journaling, what I would do, and I did this for months, probably years, is that almost every day I would find a time of quiet and I would light a candle. And I would do this stepping in to my compassionate self, intentionally stepping into that part of me, even if it felt weak and shaky. And I would light a candle and I would say, "The light of Christ." And I lit that candle on behalf, almost like a prayer, for my younger wounded self and my judgmental self. And I would sit in the gentle and generous presence of that light. And I would see what it felt like from day to day to acknowledge, this is me about my judgmental self. This is me about my wounded self. And of course, in doing so, my compassionate self was growing stronger with every daily practice of doing this. What I did in times of prayer and meditation is that I would go to my peaceful place, which happened to be a secluded cove at the beach. And I began to experience Jesus there with me and with my younger child, with my little kid. And these encounters with Jesus, I experienced Jesus as the embodiment of the love of God. I experienced Jesus' presence as what he told us in the Gospels about himself, that we could find rest with him in his presence because he is gentle and humble of heart. I found in Jesus a presence that was patient, was never in a hurry, that never had an agenda, that accepted me however I was because I was different every day. Sometimes that little kid was curled up in a terrified ball, sometimes sobbing, sometimes immobilized, sometimes running free on the beach. Jesus accepted and was with me in whatever my experience was from day to day, in a way that let me know that he understood my suffering and was there in that suffering with me. And in those encounters over and over again in times of prayer meditation, I begin to experience myself being set free. Being set free from the defensiveness of my judgmental self. Being free to let go of some of that control. Being free to know that wounded little kid loved and held, and the compassionate part of me growing stronger. So what I have for you in the user's guide is some prompts for you to do this same kind of practice if you choose, to light a candle for yourself and to sit in that gentle and generous light of Christ, or the light of God if you choose, and to really pay attention to what it's like from day to day to say, this is me, about your judgmental self and your wounded self. And then in the audio meditation, again, I will invite you to go to a peaceful place, to your peaceful place, and to experience the presence of Jesus there with you and with your younger self. All right, and I will see you soon.